a joke, think stink. Just don't think stink, pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn.
I'm not shy about the love I have for this great state. Ashtabula, Ohio is my hometown. I've got to travel all around the country, and I realized how fortunate I am to grow up in a great town like that in a great state. I played high school and college football here, and to bring a national title to the great state of Ohio, it's almost surreal.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Download the Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads to get the latest news, videos, and photos straight to from the team to your device. It'll even bark at you. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We're talking a little bit of Browns. We are going ahead, and we are also celebrating the Buckeyes National Championship victory last night over the Oregon Ducks. So call us up, 216-578-0850. Mark in Silver Lake, welcome to the show.
You know, after watching the game yesterday, there's a phrase that's used a lot in football that I think should never be used again, and that phrase is skill player. Because after watching the offensive line, you know, we use skill player for the guys who handle the ball. To say that those guys aren't skill players is an abomination. They were phenomenal, and they just don't get enough credit. And I think one of the things that minimizes what they contribute to the game is the use of that phrase skill players if everybody who doesn't handle the ball isn't. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. And thinking about this whole season, if a novelist or a screenplay writer presented what happened, what actually happened, to some movie producer or some book publisher, they wouldn't accept this. They'd say, come on, you know, this is too unrealistic. Nobody's ever going to believe a story like this.
Yeah.
But we lived through it. We saw it. I mean, like Coach Meyer said, it's surreal. It is just surreal. So that's all I wanted to say. Hats off to the offensive line. They were amazing.
Absolutely, and I concur. And if you're a fan of football, like the X's and O's of football, I thought that Urban Meyer and Tom Herman, who we will see off to his head football coaching job at the University of Houston with the national championship, we wish him luck. What they did to attack this Oregon offense, I thought, first and foremost, you can just see the physicality. You know, Oregon had it early in their size playing that 3-4 defense, but over the course of time, we just started to wear them down. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, as we said earlier, no negative runs. And I thought the way in which they constructed some of those runs and some of those sets, and we were pulling guards from left to right, right to left. We were using, you know, tackle pulls. We were using Jeff Huerman on a couple of those big Ezekiel Elliott runs where he would actually get, you know, a great seal block. I thought the one quarterback run by Ezekiel Elliott on the touchdown, getting out in front of Cardale Jones. Actually, I think it was called a touchdown initially. But he came up just short with the knee down. But Ezekiel Elliott getting out in front and making that block. They had such a great beat on what Oregon was going to do, and we used it and abused it. As we saw early, Cardale Jones struggled to find receivers because, as we talked yesterday before the game, you know, Urban Meyer, Tom Herman wanted to get Cardale Jones some confidence with some early completions. Well, those early completions turned into runs because he didn't want to force the football into a bad spot. Oregon was comfortable rushing three or four and dropping seven or eight into coverage and covering their bases and not give up those big plays, which they did, but that opened up the run game, and then we strategically took our shots down the field. And
he's got a big arm.
Big,
he throws the deep ball.
Big
very
arm
well.
Throws the deep arm. And I thought that drive that we started, I believe, is our 2 or 3 yard line, and just marched down the field. It was, you know, consecutive 26 yard plays. One to Corey Smith on that kind of that outside breaking seven route, and then Jalen Marshall across the middle. Just really solidified that we had what it takes to play with this football team, and we had what it takes, you know, in the face of adversity to come back. Because our offense was playing so great, and it was just a matter of time before our defense figured it out.
And defense certainly did. A dominating win, 42-20. Let's go, 216-578-0850. Now we'll go to Mike in Youngstown. Mike, welcome to CBD.
Oh, man. Still nervous, I think.
It's right. Over. They've won.
Yeah, I know they did. It's, like, unbelievable. I just wanted to – well, a couple things, but I remember before the 2000 – national championship game, you know, before the teams went in the locker room. And I remember them panning over to, and maybe you remember this, but they panned over to the Ohio State team, and they were in a huge circle, and they were going ballistic. And somebody was on the shoulders of one of the players, and you could see him just, like, screaming and pointing. And I always wondered who that player was.
Are you talking before the game?
Yeah, before the game.
It was, if I recall, the jersey number was 86, and it was Maurice Lee. He was he was in my recruiting class, was just very a special teams contributor, never really became a big part or lived up to, you know, the hype of what he should have become. But he was just a and I think more so than anything, it wasn't so much about him. It's just the moment. That moment is so big, and there's so much emotion tied into it that, you know, and in his case, he got overcome by it and wanted to say his piece. And as a senior on that football team, he had an opportunity to do so.
It was great. All I know is when I saw that, I couldn't get my cell phone fast enough to call the bookie. I guess I shouldn't say that, but that was like, I mean, it was so emotional. As of this game here, I was going to talk about the three quarterbacks, but I'm not. Billy Price, he goes to the same high school our kids went to when many, many years ago. I know Billy well. Tough, strong kid. And I don't think, and the caller before said this, I don't think that our O-line and D-line, our front seven on defense, I don't care who was in there. I know at the end of the game, and obviously you guys watched, they were just – their offensive defensive linemen, they were just wobbling off the field. I mean, I don't think I've ever been prouder, and I've been watching many games of a defensive line and an offensive line just totally dominate to the fact that those – 6'7", 6'8", players for them, 290 pounds, were just wobbling off the field. It was fun.
It definitely was, and I think why it was such a surprise is because nationally everyone thought that Ohio State keeping up with that Oregon tempo would be the ones that were fatigued and mentally strained by all the different sets and what makes Marcus Mariota so great. But it was the Big Ten physicality of Ohio State of just wearing them down and hitting them in the mouth. And you know, talking to Gerard earlier today, it's football. It's physical. When you think football, you think physical. You don't think football fast and tiptoe and basketball on grass. That's not what you do. And I think the greatest thing and why I have so much pride and so excited about this is not only were we able to run the game and out physical them on offense, but I just thought, you threw out the stats on what Oregon can do when they score 30 and when they don't. But I just thought, I mean, you Oregon scored 20 points and we gave them the ball four additional times. And I just thought that our defense played extremely well. I thought we had a great plan. And the good thing about it is we didn't get caught. I thought we were going to get caught one time with 12 guys on the field, but we were able to shuffle in fresh bodies along that defensive line. And in some cases, they were just bodies because there were players. And you got to understand that I cover this football team, you know, all 15 games. There were players in the D-line that I didn't know. And that just goes to show how little they play throughout the season. But they were contributors in this football game. And if it was given Michael Bennett or Bosa or Steve Miller a blow, they filled their role to the umpteenth degree.
They certainly did. And I don't know if you've seen Nike's Ohio State championship poster. Have
it's
you
sweet.
Seen that? It's so awesome. They called you lucky. They called you undeserving. They called your conference weak and your team untested. They called the other teams a dynasty, the favorite, unbeatable. They called your ranking disputable and surprising. They called you a fourth seed, if that. They called you an underdog, but now they'll call you something else.
Champions. And it is on the in Ohio Stadium, and it is scripted out champions like the best damn band in the land has scripted out champions.
It's awesome.
Very cool.
Check it out if you haven't
Nike
seen it.
Nike always does you right.
Oh, yeah, and it's all over Twitter. It's everywhere. So check that out. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We can still talk Buckeyes today. No problem with that. But we will also bring in senior staff writer Andrew Gribble to take a look at the tight end position for the Browns. They have some very solid pros there. Also, some big question marks. Will Jordan Cameron be back? He's a free agent at the end of this season. So we'll talk Browns tight ends when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.